you call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull insists changes to the Racial Discrimination Act will strengthen law rather than undermine it, dismissing claims he caved into pressure from right-wing of the Liberal Party.
Yes, so the government is trying to revive its push to change the wording of this section of the Racial Discrimination Act. What the section basically says already is that it's illegal to insult, offend or humiliate a person based on their race. And some want this part removed completely and others just want the wording changed. So the government knows that just getting rid of it would upset a lot of people. So they're now trying to replace those three words, insult, offend and humiliate, with just a single word, harass. So now this whole thing wasn't even on the government's radar last year and they weren't even considering it to be an important issue which needed attention. But as you said, the far-right side of politics and journalism has been pushing for this recently. And the government has been basically saying that changing these three words will strengthen the law. But it's really signalling a sign of confusion, I think, and just trying to pander to the far-right, because the Prime Minister has had to explain how harass would be interpreted, whereas insult, offend and humiliate are much easier to understand on face value and are pretty explicit anyway. And an interesting part of this is that just under 50% of Australians want to change the Racial Discrimination Act, but when asked how important an issue it is to them, it ranked very low. So most people are okay with it as it is. And the government has been saying it's important for freedom of speech, but really it leaves people wondering exactly what it is that people can't say now that they want to be able to say. And the changes have passed through the lower house of parliament. Of course, the government holds the majority of seats, but it doesn't seem likely it'll pass through the Senate anytime soon. That doesn't mean the issue goes away, and I feel like it will be something the far right in government won't stop talking about anytime soon, especially, you know, in the context of a Donald Trump world and all of that stuff.
Yeah, so do you think changing it to the single word of harass kind of blurs the line about what can be prosecuted as a crime?
Yeah, definitely. I think it would make it harder to prove that somebody has breached it, purely because harass sounds more personal, or like maybe it has to be repetitive towards one person. I mean, there's a lot of questions about how legal system will interpret it. And so that's a bit worrying because, you know, insult, offend and humiliate are, you know, pretty bad things as they are.
Yeah, for sure. It seems like it leaves a bit of wriggle room for a defence on that side. So secondly, we have former Prime Minister Tony Abbott says he is confident about Immigration Minister Pete Dutton's push for postal ballot on the same-sex marriage.
Yes, Peter Dutton, has suggested an optional postal ballot on marriage equality is the best bet. And this comes after a Sydney Morning Herald journalist, Matthew Knott, published a pretty interesting story on the Immigration Minister. So we, of course, have talked about Dutton before. He's an outspoken conservative and opponent to marriage equality. And what's really surprising is this journalist has heard from sources that Dutton had, in fact, been working behind the scenes to try and legalise same-sex marriage. Ever since the same-sex marriage plebiscite was shot down, Dutton has reportedly been trying to find a way for the Prime Minister to get it through Parliament. And according to the article, Dutton recognises that it's politically better to be the party that makes this progressive step forward. And if they are in charge of it, of course, they can make concessions they feel they need to with it. For example, how religion will play its part in the process. And this is all extra interesting because this week, Peter Dutton has also reportedly been abusing companies who support same-sex marriage. And these companies have written to the government, and it seems that Peter Dutton is annoyed because if he does manage to get marriage equality passed, it will now look like the government has caved to the wishes of corporations, which of course they say they never do. But with 74% of Australians being in support of marriage equality, people just want the government to do what they do with any other law change, which is just vote on it in Parliament. And actually, as Jamie Lee Ross said on your show last week even, there's a strong argument for the idea that people shouldn't be able to vote on the rights of individuals or minorities, and that it should all be dealt with by the government anyway.
So the last story we have today is staff at one of Australia's busiest airports have been setting up camp and sleeping at work, which they say is because they cannot afford to go home between shifts.
Yeah, this is a bit of a concerning one. It was revealed in an ABC report this week that a number of staff at Sydney Airport were sleeping there as they couldn't afford to go home between shifts. And in the footage, you can see makeshift beds set up next to baggage carousels in the staff-only area in the international terminal. Because apparently the way that the rostering is done at the airport, there are limited guaranteed hours for each worker, and people are saying it isn't financially viable for them to return home when they're rostered off, just in case they get the chance to pick up more hours without notice. And on top of this, when they have a split shift starting early and finishing late with a gap of maybe 4 or 5 hours in the middle, it's just not worth them going anywhere other than the airport, so they sleep at work. And according to the Transport Workers Union, AeroCare, which is the company responsible for the workers, they sought to, quote, game the system and keep the workers hungry for extra shifts. And because the pay is as low as they can legally make it, this makes the workers more competitive to get as many hours as they can, despite long breaks in between shifts and the fatigue that comes with working for so long. A lot of concerns have been raised by the story, especially around the safety of the workers and how fatigue may affect passengers. I think one of the workers who came out with this allegation said that, you know, a cargo door was almost accidentally left open on a plane before takeoff and things like that. So, yeah, people worry that the risk of something going wrong could increase with conditions like this. The company has defended itself. They've rejected any claims that they mistreat their workforce, and they've said that in 22 years and over a million flights, they've never been penalised for a safety issue. So I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about this in the near future, because it does sound worrying.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.